Well, worship is an expression of our love to God, and it comes in many forms. It comes in giving, it comes in praying, it comes in listening and obeying, and we have the privilege of worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, if you would turn there, we'll just speak for a little while in some verses. We'll probably get through verse number 10 tonight, and as we do our Sunday night Bible study, and thank you so much for setting aside some time on a Sunday night to be here and to just go deeper, go the extra mile on the Lord's Day and to hear from the Bible and to fellowship with each other. And so I do want to say this while you're turning there, that if you, Steve's house is open if you want to go see the Super Bowl at Steve's. Steve, is that right, Steve? Is that okay? If you're new and you're like, man, I'd like to hang out with some people from the church I've never hung out with, Steve is having a Super Bowl party at his house right afterwards. Lots and lots of food. And I heard there's cheese there. There's good cheese. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know what you have there, but I'm just picturing a lot of good food and stuff. So anyway, I'll say this. Life comes in many seasons. It comes in seasons. There's times when you're coming out of a hard time. There's times when you're in one and you're coming into one. And where we get life confused is when we try to force a season outside of God's timing. I think everybody in this room wants every season of our life to be super happy. No storms, no financial stress, no health problems. Everything's just going to be hunky-dory every single day. And how many of you have realized that's just not the case? You could try to plan for a good year like 2020, and all of a sudden, outside of your control, something whaps you upside the financial head. You end up in the hospital. No, nobody here expects to end up in the hospital this year. But you might. We did January 1st. We woke up that day. Everything was fine. 2020, brand new decade, brand new year. Okay, so for some of you, the decade doesn't start until 2021. Whatever, okay? For us, the new decade started in 2020. And we woke up, and all of a sudden, we're at the emergency room, and we're having a baby. I mean, not like actually having a baby, but, you know, we found out we're going to have a baby. That really changed our decade. That really changed our year. You never know what's going to happen. And so God challenges us to take each day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for such as the evil thereof in that day. There's plenty of things to worry about tomorrow. So God says it's sufficient as the day is the evil thereof in that day. But today, God says, is the present, which is a gift from Him. So we strive and we work and we labor for something we were oftentimes never gifted to have, trying to become someone God never intended us to be, or trying to become what God intends to do in His timing. And so sometimes we're off, that we want it to happen now, and God's like, no, we're gonna do that in like 10 years. I just need to continue developing you. You know, when it came to Moses, it took him 40 years in the wilderness to be developed into the person God was going to use to lead 2 million people out of Egypt. It's always in His timing. We can't try to become what God intends us to be outside of His timing. We have to be, you like this word, Gary, patient. We have to be patient. It's in His timing. God is teaching us that every season has a purpose when God is part of the equation. Okay, let me read the verses. Ecclesiastes 3, notice what it says. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Now, He's using extreme contrasts. Being born and dying are two extreme ends of the spectrum. A time to plant and a time to pluck up, which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, for some of you, I think some of you think it's sin to dance. By the way, do you know our Constitution that says that we're supposed to abstain from all worldly activity, including rock music and dancing? The Bible says to dance, so we need to change some things in our Constitution here. I understand some of you guys are like, no, Pastor, you're talking about sensual dancing at the club. Well, we should probably be more specific about that, because the Bible is very clear that there's a time to dance. There's a time to celebrate. Celebrate. Okay. Some of you, I feel like you guys are just not with me right now. You guys good? All right, cool. Okay. The sun is shining. We should have all the vitamin D we could possibly get throughout the day. We should be happy and chipper. A time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, time to rend and a time to sow, time to keep silence, time to speak, time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Lord, I pray that through this, we would be challenged, encouraged, and helped in our lives through the Word of God. And thank you for giving us these verses. And thank you for this poetic form of expressing your truth and the frustration in life. And I do pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is truly frustrating, and that's why the book of Ecclesiastes was written. It's very frustrating because things don't always work out the way we want them to work out. And we find ourselves managing this tension between our expectations and reality. Okay? And when our expectations aren't met in marriage, finances, church, spiritual life, feelings, the whole spectrum of life, they're not met by our expectations. We get frustrated with life. Lord, you said if I did this, then this would be accomplished. And then when it's not accomplished in our timing, we get frustrated with life and we get frustrated with God. How many of you have ever been there before? Okay. Lord, you said I was a good spouse or I was a good parent and just things didn't turn out the way I thought they would. That's the frustration in life. And that's when we question God. This is why Solomon wrote this, because he says, I get it. I understand what you're going through. He says, now there's a time for everything, a season, okay? In other words, there's a time for death. Time to be born and a time to die, right? Death helps us appreciate life. And we all have an appointment with death. And here we're learning to learn and grow and embrace each season. And this is the goal, is to embrace each season that we're in. Some of us, we're going to face death. And you may even be given a diagnosis from a doctor when that time will be. You have to learn how to embrace that. We all know it's going to happen. You can't escape two things, death and... So we already know it's going to happen. Okay, we can extend the life by how we behave most of the time. And we could try to lower our taxes by who we vote in. But both are inevitable. Okay? We have to face this, but we have to learn how to grow and to embrace each season. You have a little baby that's coming. 40 years old, we're gonna be changing diapers again. We have to embrace that season. Okay? And learn how to grow and celebrate that. Not trying to keep or disregard seasons in life. There are some seasons you really enjoy and you want to keep them, but how many of you guys understand even that season has an end to it? Even good institutions that sent out missionaries and preachers and impacted the world for the gospel of Christ had their season end as well. Even every good sports team has their end of an era. And thank God the Patriots era is finally almost over. He says, there is a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time. There's a purpose for everything. There's a purpose for why that person died. There's a purpose for why that person was born. There's a purpose for why you're going through what you're going through. Just read the book of Job. Man is called to take life day by day from the hand of God. That's all we're called to do. In other words, you'll see in these verses that God sees the spectrum of life from the beginning of time to the end of time, but all we're given is this little, tiny vapor of a life in the whole spectrum of time, of eternity, and yet we think that we're going to comprehend the whole picture? Do you really think in our little 70 to 100 years on this earth, we're going to fully understand our purpose on this earth? We're not. Why did that person have to die? Why does that person go through such a hard time? And why did that person make that decision? How many of you guys are thankful you serve a God who works all things according to His what? His will, His purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. In other words, God is very good at making bad things into good things. And He's really good at turning good things into great things because that's the kind of God we serve. He takes the meek and the weak things and makes them great and wonderful and awesome. All God is asking us to do is just take to live each day at a time. That's it. So you know what that means? Today, when the sun's out, enjoy it. Tonight, when you're watching football with your friends, if you care about that, be in the moment, enjoy it. When you're getting you're going to the cheese ball with your Ritz crackers at Steve's house, and you get some cheese, eat it, and listen, just be in the moment. Be in the moment. When you're sitting down in your devotions and you open the Word of God, just take out all the distractions and be in the moment right there. You could die on your way to work. Learn to enjoy, learn to embrace each season of life and take it day by day. There's seasons that we go through and we have to learn how to embrace them and go through them gracefully. So realizing that God has a fitting time for each thing to be done is extremely important for our souls and for the stresses in life. So the significance of this section of Scripture that I've read is that man is responsible to discern the right times with the right actions. It's our responsibility to discern the right times with the right actions. So at this time in my life, what am I supposed to do about it? So when I enter this season of life, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And this is the time that you have me in, and now how am I supposed to respond in this season of life? And we see that all throughout the Scripture. There's Paul who responded so gracefully in times of need, great need, and in times of not needing very much. He learned how to abound and how to be abased. And he said, I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. So, and even at his death, what did he say? He said, I fought a good fight. He's like, he responded even at the door of death. He says, you know, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there waits for me a crown of glory. He said, even at knowing he's about to die, responded with that season in his life. So when we do the right actions in God's time, the results are beautiful. The results are impacting to the people around us. I like what Ephesians 2:10 says. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If you want to show the verse, that'd be great. I want everybody to see this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay? So when we do the right actions in God's timing, the results are absolutely beautiful. We are being molded and made into his image, unto good works, that we may walk in them. So the teacher does not say that, Solomon is not saying that everything is imposed on man against his will. So let me just quantify this a little bit, clarify, okay? He's not saying that everything is imposed on man against his will, although some events go beyond our understanding. Okay, so I only have one point tonight, and I only have 20 minutes left. So my one point is this, God's plan, I want to share with you God's plan for living. God's plan for living, okay? Just found here in these 10 verses. So we see here, everything has a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. How many of you guys understand, as a believer in Christ, every season you go through, God is working his purpose and fulfilling his promise that your life on this earth has meaning, purpose. Isn't that awesome? Even the hard times you go through, God said there's a purpose behind that. It's okay. Just trust me through this. Okay? Especially when it's not brought on by your bad decisions. Okay? But even in your sin, can God work that out for good? 100%. Absolutely. You think about the sin of the Romans, the sin of the Pharisees and scribes who murdered Jesus. Did he work that out for our good? Oh, absolutely. Without that, we wouldn't have any sacrifice. So thank God for them. And of course, we see God's forgiveness on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe that we'll see many of them in glory one day. But let's just talk about God's plan for living as we go through our Bible study. Look at verse number 2. He says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to be born. How many of you are thankful you're born? I think Trump just signed the Celebration of Life Day, January 21st. How many of you guys are thankful for that? We should celebrate life and the sanctity of life. And I believe in the right to choose. I believe in the right to choose to adopt your child. I believe in the right to choose to leave it at the fire station. I believe in your right to not abstain from premarital interaction. We have kids in here. Right? You have a choice, okay? But listen, it is not up to us to take the life of that baby, okay? Listen, God has a plan for that baby. There's a purpose for that baby. And it's not our right or our position as a human to decide whether that baby has purpose or not. That's up to God. And if you're with child, that child is the Lord's. Okay? He or she was made in the image of God. And to deny that is to deny the very maker who's made all heaven and earth. Okay? It cheapens the idea of God when we lessen the sanctity of life. Do you see what happens to the soul of man when we take it upon ourselves to murder children, to take children's lives from the womb? It cheapens life, and that therefore cheapens who God truly is. Because here's the point. We're all made in the image of God. And so we cheapen his image by saying, well, this life isn't really needed on this earth. There's a time to be born, okay? Children have always been looked at as a blessing from God in the Bible. Verl, how would women respond in the Bible when their womb was shut?
They would weep and ask God to open it up.
That's right. They would weep and ask God to open it up. It was a people in society during those times would, what's wrong? I wonder what she did. It was looked at as a curse. Something was wrong with that person. Think of what Sarah had gone through all those years of not being able to bear a child. And of course, in her old age, God gave her Isaac. Pretty awesome. Okay? But listen, every child that you have is a blessing from God. Okay? Even the crazy wild animal one. You guys know what I'm talking about? The one, okay? Even that one is a blessing. Hey, you just hone that energy in the right direction, and they're going to do a lot of great things. Okay? It's not a mistake that they're like that. Okay? If you have a crazy wild animal type of child, they're usually the ones like Peter who do great things for God. Okay, just hone them in the right direction. Don't try to change their personality. That's how God made them. But they're a blessing from God. You know, people today, they'll tell you, let me just talk about this. I'm not a social justice warrior, but as a Christian, you say, how do I respond to somebody who thinks that we're overpopulating the earth? Okay, obviously it's coming from a person who thinks God doesn't exist. How many of you guys know when God created the earth, he created it big enough with enough resources to handle the amount of people we have today, plus billions more? We don't have an overpopulation problem. We have an over-governmentation problem. That's not even a word, but we're going to go with it tonight. We have a problem with government. We have a problem with human selfishness and government corruption. That's the problem. The reason why people are starving across the world is not because there's limited resources. It's because governments steal from their citizens. That's why. If you just do a simple social study in countries in Africa and countries in Europe, where their people are literally starving, it's not because they lack resources. It's always because the government is oppressive. It's really sad. These climate change fear mongers scare people away from having babies. Don't let that happen to you. You know what Jesus said? Hey, be fruitful and multiply. Now, by the way, I'm just kidding. This is just for fun. You haven't multiplied until you have four. So 2 times 2 is 4. So Sean and I have fulfilled the biblical obligation of multiplying. We don't want to brag, but that's not to make you feel bad if you had one or two, okay? I'm just messing around, all right? I'm just playing. Don't take that to the bank, okay? But listen, if you're like, man, I'm just afraid if I have a child, they're going to take up too much CO2 and carbon dioxide. And look, the thing about CO2, can I just talk about CO2 really quick? This is kind of fun, all right? Just talk about it. Did you know that plants thrive on CO2? Do you know, it's like God made this buffer system. As CO2 levels go up, plants actually grow at a faster rate. And guess what plants produce? Oxygen. It's like this amazing filtration system that God has designed so that when you have a bunch of cows passing gas, it's actually good for the plants. That's why when you drive through Iowa, man, it's horrible. It's like, woo-wee. I don't know why anybody would live there, but you know, the farmers say it smells like money. So, right? I'm just glad Michigan doesn't smell like that. What does Michigan smell like? It smells like those mushrooms. Morels. Yeah, it smells like morels. It's really what it smells like. Okay, so let's move on. All I'm saying, if you're a biblicist, we already know how it ends. Does the earth end up getting burnt up and destroyed? Yeah, but we know how that happens. Comet Wormwood hits the earth, 1/3 of the planet's destroyed, and then we're on the earth for 1,000 years. Did you know that? So we already know for 1,000 years we're on this earth as Jesus rules and reigns, and then we're taken away from this earth to a new earth and a new heaven. I have no idea how that works, but the purpose of Revelation was to encourage those who are under persecution with the churches of Asia Minor. So we don't have to get into all those details, but the point is this, we already know how the earth ends, and you can have as many kids as you want. So just keep having babies. And all the women said, shut up, be quiet. Then there's a time to die. So there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. We look to God, listen, we look to God's plan, not euthanasia, to determine when or whether to resuscitate lives that are ready to slip away. Okay? Like, you can't especially leave it up to government to decide who gets to live and who doesn't. Let life run its natural course is my view of what the Bible teaches. It's not our job to take our life early, and it's not our job to take somebody else's life early. As in some cases we've seen in America where that has happened, I think that's against what the Bible clearly teaches. I was talking to Pat Chase today. She was here, by the way, and her time is coming quickly. And I'd encourage you to pray for her and to see her and to encourage her. But I'm always encouraged by her spirit and tenacity through these last few months that she has on this earth. You know, we've had 3 people in our church pass away in the last week. And I just know that there's just, it's appointed unto everybody. We all have to face it. Right? It's amazing how some people face it with grace and they just accept their situation as God's plan and embrace it. And the sweet spirit, the aroma of Christ just permeates from their life. It's pretty spectacular to watch, to see people embrace their seasons in life. And she just knows it's my time to die. And you're going to have your time to die. You had your time to be born. You have your time to die. Can I just say this? Say, well, when's my time? I don't know. You could be 88, 90 years old. You could be 27. You could be 19. It doesn't matter. But listen, the fact that God's given us any time on the earth is a gift from Him. Amen. And for us to look at Him and wag our heads and literally be angry at a God for not allowing us to live as long as we want to live, okay, is such a shame. because we didn't even deserve to be on this earth in the first place. And that's a great place to be in your soul, because that creates this attitude of gratitude. Man, I'm just so thankful that God has given me another day, that I'm breathing this air. I woke up in my bed today. Lord, thank you for this amazing, amazing day. So there's a time to die, though. He said planting and uprooting. He said there's a plant and there's a time to uproot. Both are natural and metaphorical in a sense. Okay, so naturally we want to plant. In chapter 11, verse 6, look at that real quick. Naturally, it says in verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. So there's a time to actually literally plant, but metaphorically, what does it mean? What does it mean to plant and to water and to reap? Well, Jeremiah 4:3 says this. It says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Okay? It's a verse that I wanted to show you guys, but it says to break up the fallow ground. So speaking spiritually, Matthew 13, 24 through 30 says this. Matthew 13, 24 through 30 says, another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. It's kind of like that sowing. It's metaphorically talking about this good seed sowed in the field. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Verse 28, and he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the what? The harvest. And in the time of harvest, he's saying, the time when we all get to heaven, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. He's saying you can't uproot the tares, the bad weed among the field, because you'll uproot some of the wheat, some of the good crop. In other words, the saved and the unsaved. And so Jesus pictures planting and uprooting, and there's a time to do that. Even Jesus has a time where he'll expose those two scenarios. Verse number 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Really quick, killing is not the same as murder, okay? There are times when someone needs to die for what they did. Right? Look, somebody, Pastor, really, does the Bible teach? There is a time somebody has to die. When a terrorist is literally plotting the murder of thousands of their own people and people across the country, there's a time for that person to die from a missile from nowhere into his car and get blown up. There's a time for that. Say, Pastor, no way. You'll find, you wouldn't believe, in the Old Testament where God says, all right, I want you to go over here and you have to take out these people. And the reason why is because it's time for them to die. What they're doing to their children, what they're doing to themselves is so horrible, God finally had to take care of the evil. And so God said it's time for them to die. There's a time to kill, but listen, there's also, this is discernment, okay? There's times when someone needs mental help because of what they did. So there's a time to kill, and then there's a time to heal that person. And it's our job to discern when and who that is. There's a time to break down and to build up. A time to break down and time to build up is an interesting idea. I think everyone in here likes the idea of building up. Like, oh, we like building. We like the church growing, and we like the buildings going up, and we like when buildings are going up downtown. But what about when things are being torn down? Everything in life needs to be pruned or given a proper burial. We like starting ministries, but what about killing a ministry? We don't like that. We think we're not progressing that way. We can't kill a ministry, Pastor. And there's a lot of church members who have sacred cows in the church. It's like, that's our ministry. If you kill that ministry, you've killed me. That's a really bad place to be as a church member. That's an unhealthy church member. It's if I had a wood pulpit and I took it away and put this in here and you totally lost your faith, there's something seriously wrong with you. If you have like a certain ministry or a certain way of doing something and we stop that because something else will fulfill the mission better and then you totally quit on God and leave the church, there's something wrong with your soul. You're an unhealthy church member. There are some things we do build up, but guess what? There may be a time we tear it down. I remember. Now, by the way, I understand we have some memories in these places. There's a church down the street that we used to occupy called Breton Road Baptist Church, and guess what happened when we moved out? They tore it down. And that affected a lot of people, and that's okay if it does. You're like, man, we were married in there, and that's fine. But when you lose yourself completely because something was torn down, then there's obviously something wrong with your attachment to that thing. There is an unhealthy attachment to it. How many of you guys understand everything has seasons? Right now, it's like, I love you guys. I love this. I love this season. I love where we're at. I love the cultural change we've made at our church. There are some people who didn't like that. Okay? And can I tell you, that's okay. I love where we're at. Okay? There's a time to build up and there's a time to tear down. Don't let your heart be tied to things that will be torn down one day. Don't be tied to this building. Don't be tied to these chairs or where you sit. Don't be tied to our style. Okay? They say methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing, principles never do. Okay? Methods will change over time. How many of you guys are glad we don't all look like the 1970s? Bell bottoms, big pork chops, right? Flannel shirts, microphones with a big puff ball at the end of it. You know, we just don't do that anymore. Things change, but don't get so attached to those things. There's a time to build things up and a time to tear them down. I'm not going to get done on time. So I love talking about this stuff. There's ministries that we will tear down. There's churches that won't always last. There's a time where a church gets built up, and then there's a time that church needs to be torn down. There's a time where our hearts need to be built up. Watch this. Nobody likes this one. There's a time where our hearts need to be torn down a little bit, to be remade. When we lived in Vegas, there were buildings built 20 years previous to when we moved there, already torn down and built bigger and better. Even for them, they understand this principle. There's a time to just tear that thing down because this is not serving the purpose anymore. There's a time to build up, time to tear down. This is really important for a healthy church member, by the way. You have to embrace the times of when we're tearing things down in order to rebuild better. There are some changes we've made in our church over the last year where we had to just tear some of these programs down in order to rebuild, to fulfill the mission of being a disciple and making a disciple. And most of you have transitioned with us gracefully and some didn't. I'm okay with that. Because there's times when we have to tear some things down in order to rebuild in a healthy way. Because I'll tell you something, my passion for this church is that people would get discipled and grow in Jesus Christ. We just got our discipleship material. I'm going to end with this. We're not even going to get the rest of our notes. We have our discipleship material in, and it's in. And if you're brand new to the faith or you've never been discipled and you want to be discipled, I want to encourage you to come to me, come to our leadership and say, I'd like to get discipled. We will take you through a discipleship course, one-on-one discipleship, to encourage you, to challenge you, and to help you grow as a Christian, one-on-one. I think this is important to have corporate worship and preaching, but I think what's even more important is to have that one-on-one discipleship time with somebody. And I'll tell you, we've had to tear some things down in order for us to get to a place where we're discipling people in the journey group, journey classes, and disciple people in the journey groups, and to disciple people on the one-on-one discipleship. And I'm telling you, we are so laser focused on helping people grow spiritually because the last thing I want in this church is for us to be a mile wide and an inch deep. Do you know how a church becomes a mile wide and an inch deep? Is when it just becomes a big theatrical stage performance. Don't get me wrong, this is important. But what's even more important is that you get rooted and grounded in the faith and that you're pouring your life into somebody else as well. Okay? And I wanted to get our church to a place where we're doing that. Okay? And to a place where we're not all the same. We want to be, I'll just end with this, it's 6 o'clock right now. I'm 20 seconds over. Where we're together, okay? We're unified, but there's not uniformity. Do you guys see the difference? Where we're unified, we come from all these different backgrounds and we come from different church backgrounds, we come from all different corners of the earth. And we're unified. And what unifies us? Somebody tell me. Jesus Christ. But we're not, it's not uniformity. We're not trying to get everybody to look exactly the same. Okay? And there were just some things we had to tear down in order to get our church culture into that healthy, healthy place where people like Dan Upchurch could sit in a service for 10 months and not feel judged and end up getting saved. That's a healthy church. Some things have to be torn down to get there. And I'm so glad we did that.